What's the difference in those who are being saved and those who are saved? That interesting question is what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hey, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're really glad that we can connect with you wherever you happen to be. So today we're taking questions from listeners just like you. Bob and Sean are going to answer a couple of questions, one that's a little bit difficult and one that's not so hard. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. Bob, I have an easy question and I have a hard question. Which would you like first?
Give me the hard one first.
Let's go with the hard one first. All right. This is a question from Martin, and Martin says, I was curious if you know why 1 Corinthians 1:18 was changed from are saved to being saved. And so I guess that's from the KJV to the New King James, from the King James to the New King James. Why was 1 Corinthians 1:18 changed from are saved to being saved?
All right, you are right. That is a hard question.
What is the difference? So the being saved is a process. Is are saved a process? I'm not quite sure.
Well, I'm looking at the verse here in the Greek. It seems to me that being saved is a better translation. It's a participle, the ones who are being saved. However, it's not wrong to say the ones who are saved, because participles are flexible in the way you handle them. Let's read the whole verse, and then we can talk about it a bit more.
All right. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So you have a contrast there between perishing and salvation. You might look at the perishing. Is perishing an accomplished fact? No. There's a parallel there. They're both participles there?
Yes, they're both participles. You know, part of the problem I have with this verse is in 1 Corinthians, when Paul talks about salvation, it's most often being spiritually healthy. For example, 1 Corinthians 5:5, where he says, I've delivered this one who was sleeping with his own stepmother over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of Christ Jesus.
Right.
That's the judgment seat of Christ, that he might be healthy at the judgment seat of Christ. I think that's what 1 Corinthians 3:15 is saying when it says, if anyone's work is burned up, he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. He's saying he'll be healthy at the Bema because he's talking about the wise master builders. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 15:2, you have, I think it's the same wording, almost exactly the same. In 1 Corinthians 15:2, he says, you are saved or you are being saved. Now, this is not a participle. This is a verb in the indicative, but it is in the middle passive, here in the passive voice. So you are saved, or I would translate this, you are being saved. But the New King James doesn't translate it that way, even though in chapter 1 and verse 18, they translate a participle as being saved. But let's come back, and I think what 1 Corinthians 15:2 is talking about is sanctification.
Okay.
It says you are spiritually healthy, you are remaining spiritually healthy if you hold fast to the gospel which Paul preached. It's a sanctification verse. Now, coming back to 1:18, I think the reason that Martin has this question?
Yeah.
Is because you are saved sounds like you're dealing with permanent status, whereas you're being saved sounds like something which is going on now, which may or may not continue. Well, that's clearly the case in 15:2, because he says you are saved or you are being saved if you hold fast the word which I preach to you. The same thing in 1 Corinthians 5:5, only if the person repents is he going to be healthy at the judgment seat of Christ. And I think here it's quite possible that this is talking about being spiritually healthy. If that's the case, then the perishing does not refer to eternal condemnation. The perishing would be someone who is on the path of destruction. Because this word for perishing also means to be destroyed, wasted, lost.
Right.
And so the point could be that the message or the word of the cross to those who are perishing could refer, obviously, to unbelievers, but it could refer to believers who are no longer on the path of righteousness foolishness.
Well, you know, later on he talks about the cross is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. And it sounds like he's talking about unbelievers there. So maybe the parallel is, listen, they are reaping the consequences of their foolishness, which is maybe he doesn't have eternal condemnation in view. Maybe he means corruption, you know, some type of corruption that they're reaping. Whereas the Corinthians have a choice to be spiritually healthy.
Right. But I guess what I'm suggesting is this. It's possible that the perishing refers to a person who is currently condemned, like John 3:18, he who does not believe is condemned already, and that the saved refers to being eternally secure. But if so, this is not the normal way that Paul would use to express that. For example, in Ephesians 2:8, you have been saved.
Yeah.
And here we're talking about some sort of are saved, if you translate it that way, you were in a state of salvation, okay, that would work. But if it's are being saved or to you who are being saved, well, then that implies we're dealing with a sanctification question.
Right, because maybe we should point out there are different ways of speaking of salvation, past, present, and future, right? The salvation that God gives us. And there are some parts of it that are accomplished fact for the believer, right? Once you're born again, you are born again. Once you are justified, you're justified. Once you're in God's hands, you'll never be able to be snatched out of his hand. But we're still in process. And the Corinthians were definitely an example of a whole church of people who are still very much in process of God transforming them and making them more Christ-like. We all have a long way to go. And so there's a sense in which even eternally secure people are still being saved.
Right. If you're talking in the sense of being saved from the world, and the world system and the world's way of thinking. Earl Wadmacher loved to say that. He spoke at some major pastor's conference, and he said, I've been saved 5 times this morning. He didn't mean from eternal condemnation.
Right.
He was joking about the fact that God had done a work in him in terms of making him more like Christ that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we can use it in a sanctification sense, but I'm not sure why the New King James changed it. Dr. Art Farstad, who was the lead editor of the New King James, told me that his mandate was to make sure that they kept to the wording and the text of the King James, except that they were to update the language. And so in something like this, I'm sure that they did not view this as changing the meaning of the King James.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just felt that this was a more accurate reflection of the language.
All right, so here is a question from John.
Is this the easy one? Well, that was definitely the hard one.
Maybe this, yeah, that was the hard one. Here's an easy one. It's from Angel, I don't know, Angel. Is once saved, always saved biblical?
Absolutely.
That's an
Any
easy
more
one,
question?
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Think of John 3:16. The one, whoever believes in him will not perish. That's guaranteed. John 5:24, he will not come into judgment concerning everlasting life, concerning his eternal destiny. John 11:26, he who lives and believes in me shall never die spiritually.
Right.
He's never going to hunger or thirst. John 6:35, he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Those are all statements of eternal security. John 10:28-29. Jesus says that we're in his hand and no one can pluck us out of his hand. And we're also in the Father's hand and no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand.
Right. And you can't jump out either,
You
by
can't
the way.
Jump
There's no
out.
Verse that you says you can jump out.
You can't squirm out. You can't whatever. And the point is, once we have everlasting life, that's what we have.
Right.
Everlasting life.
All right. Well, this is his follow-up question.
Okay.
And we should be able to answer this fairly easily. Angel's follow-up question is, can a true believer, quote-unquote, live in sin to the very end of his life and still go to heaven?
And the answer there is, absolutely. The point is...
Well, first of all, can I say this?
Yes.
whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you're going to sin until the end of your life.
Right.
Guess what? You're going to sin until the end of your life. So think about your question here. I guess the question is, but what if you're in deliberate rebellion? You're rebelling against God every single day.
Right. The point would be, look, obviously, we on this radio program do not want people to walk in sin.
No, we believe in holiness. We want people to be holy.
But on the other hand, if we say, if you fall away and don't come back, then you're on your way to the lake of fire, then what we've done is just deny justification by faith alone.
Mm-hmm.
We've just denied John 3:16. It's no longer whoever believes in him, but now we've got to persevere to the end of our lives.
Right.
Any level of failure is possible that God will allow. Now, there's a question there. How much does God allow? Because God takes people home.
Okay, so let's clarify. Because what you're saying is God might see such a great level of rebellion in your life that he might discipline you even unto death. He might actually take you. You might die prematurely because you're causing too much damage to the body of Christ or whatever, and God will take you home.
Right. We were talking about 1 Corinthians earlier in the show. 1 Corinthians 11:30 is where Paul says, because they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, because of this, some of you are sick and some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And sleep is a reference to the death of believers. So some of them had died as a result of getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. God does discipline his children, and sometimes that's premature death.
Yeah.
And so, yes, God can take us home prematurely, but there are examples of people who have come to faith in Christ who have fallen away to the point where they have become atheists, they have become agnostics, they have gone into other religions.
Yeah.
They may have continued to believe, but they've fallen into terrible immorality and drunkenness and other things. The point is, there's no guarantee that we're going to live the way we should. What there is a guarantee of is if we believe in Jesus, we'll never perish, we'll never die, we'll never hunger, we'll never thirst. We have everlasting life. We've passed from death into life. And that's good news, and that should motivate continued holiness.
Well, thanks for that answer, Bob. If you have any questions about that or about any biblical or theological topic, be sure to send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Here we are on Friday, another launching pad into a great weekend. I hope you have a wonderful time. We'll be back with you on Monday, and we look forward to that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.